This is Daily Info's Oxcast Extra, and today I'm very excited to be talking to Laura Rees, who is Master Sommelier at the Gusborne Estate, an award-winning winery in Kent, which is among the exhibitors at this year's Oxford Wine Festival, taking place on the 9th and 10th of September. Hello, Laura.
Hello, hi.
So, Laura, you pretty much have my dream job. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started in the industry and what you do day to day, please?
Yeah, certainly. So I started working as a sommelier after I graduated, actually, so in 2004. And I spent a long time working with various head sommeliers and training and doing a lot of work with competitions and exams up until last year when I left and then joined Gusborne. So.
How long does the training take?
Well, typically, I mean, I suppose it depends. A lot of the training that I did was within my working day to day as well. So there's no set time for it as such. But certainly, I suppose training never stops, I guess. But I started in 2004 and then I achieved the Master Sommelier in 2010. So I suppose you could say 6 years from start to finish. But then, of course, it never stops.
Wow, that's quite an extensive training period. I imagine yes. It needs to be. What are the qualities you think you need to become a Master Sommelier?
I think to be a sommelier in general, I think you need to, of course, have a great love and a great passion for wine and how it interacts with food, but also to have a great passion for guests and for making sure that they have a fantastic time in your restaurant and getting them excited about new wines or classic wines or different regions or something perhaps they haven't tried before. But at the same time, there's also other elements to the role, including you need to be very organised. There's a lot of cellar management and behind the scenes aspects to it as well. A lot of fun parts too, though.
So what would be a typical day at the Gusborne Estate for you?
So now, within my role at Gusborne, my typical day would involve a lot of ambassadorial work. So I spend a lot of time speaking to sommeliers, to people who buy wine as well. A lot of training. I do elements of sales as well and development as well. So I guess I could be sometimes based at the winery, showing people around. Quite often I'm out and about seeing people opening wines, giving them tastings and trainings. And of course, wine festivals such as the Oxford Wine Festival.
It sounds absolutely terrific.
it's a lot of fun.
I bet it is. Now, Gusborne are renowned for their sparkling wines.
Yes.
What's special about the company's approach to winemaking?
We own all of our own vineyards. We have about 20 hectares of established vineyards in Kent, and we've planted a little bit more in Kent and in a new vineyard in Sussex as well. But because of our microclimate there, we're quite coastal. We have a lot of clay and sand in our soils, and we use a lot of Burgundy clones of the grapes as well. So all of that combined with our microclimate there means we just get a little bit more ripeness, a little bit more richness into the grapes. And so that blends, of course, with our desire to age the wines for as long as we feel necessary. So typically 3 years aging on the lees for our sparkling, our Blanc de Blanc, our Brut Reserve. That adds a different level of complexity, but also an elegance to our wines.
I see. And when you hear about a wine having something like gooseberry notes, what is it that would create that? Is it a mixture of, you know, terroir and the grape use, or is it a particular thing?
So there's lots of different things that can certainly affect what a wine tastes like. Absolutely, the grape is perhaps the most obvious, but also, yes, the terroir can affect it. So certainly grapes that are grown in different soils or in different climates will certainly taste different, and some might just pick up different aromas because of that.
And do you use the traditional method for sparkling wine, is that right?
We do, absolutely. So our wines are all made using the traditional method. So the method, of course, made famous by champagne. So the second fermentation happens inside the bottle, creating a natural sparkle.
Mm. Natural sparkle sounds lovely. And I understand that Gusborne have won some very prestigious awards. Is that right?
We have, yes, absolutely. I mean, we were English Wine Producer of the Year 2015-2016. We also won two Platinum Awards at Decanter this year for our Blanc de Blanc and our Pinot Noir as well, which was fantastic. On top of that, we are very honoured to have been served at Buckingham Palace and at many prestigious Michelin star restaurants across the country and fantastic wine shops across the country as well.
Lovely. It seems that English wines have somewhat come into their own in recent years. Why do you think that is?
I think you're right. I think it's a very exciting time for the industry, certainly an increase in the amount of land under vine, the increase in generally consumers' excitement about English wine as well as a general increase in quality across the board have meant that certainly it's getting a lot more fantastic press at the moment as well. And that can only be a good thing for the industry moving forward.
Yes, I can see that. And how do English wines fare on the world stage? Is it mainly a domestic market or do you export?
Personally, we export a little bit as well. And certainly we are still producing a fairly small amount of wine. So we sadly can't export anywhere near everywhere. But we export a very small amount to a few European countries, certainly Belgium, Denmark, a little bit to Estonia as well. We've just taken on an importer in the US as well, which is very exciting. So that's happened in the last couple of months. So the export market is certainly developing. And I think that the other countries are starting to become very excited about English wines. Generally, which I think is very promising, which is great. But I suppose our main market is the UK.
I suppose because of, well, the size of the UK and also presumably the size of the areas of land that are actually capable of producing good wine means that we're never going to be a huge producer. Is that right?
I think yes. I mean, certainly there are a great swathes of Southern England, which currently are fantastic for producing wines. And then we'll see sort of what happens in the future. But you're right, I don't think it'll ever be an incredibly massive amount of land under vine. But things are increasing steadily, which is, you know, I think really exciting.
It is really exciting. It's nice to see English wine served and to get to taste it. At previous
Absolutely.
Wine festivals, I've been to an English wine tasting where there were several to try it. It's extremely exciting. I think they're doing that again this year.
Oh, fab. Great news.
Yes. Now, as we know, Oxford will be holding its now annual wine festival at the historic Oxford Union next month. And Gusborne mm-hmm. are going to have a stall there, which our listeners yeah. should look out for. What's it like to attend a festival as an exhibitor?
You know, it's a lot of fun. I think it's great to be able to show people the wines, you know, to be able to get the wines into their glasses, to chat to them about it, to help them understand a little bit about our story, about English wines in general as well, and about the quality that's available within our own country. I think that's really exciting. And, you know, it's also brilliant to be involved in a festival where there's such a great kind of cross-section of wines available as well, and to be a part of that.
How often do you go to festivals?
It depends. Certainly there's different parts of the year that tend to be slightly more popular for festivals. We do exhibit at a few every year. I mean, certainly we'd love to be able to do more, but time restrictions and wine restrictions mean certainly that we can't. But we exhibit as much as we can, which is great.
That's good. And do you take a team of people or would it just be one or two? How do you go about it?
Well, actually, I think at the Oxford Wine Festival, it'll just be me. And then normally it'll be either just one person or maybe one or two people, depending. But it's still great to be there as well.
The marketing of wine is a very interesting business, isn't it? The way that local wine festivals, they seem to be as much about entertainment as about sales. I mean, from the point of view of someone going there, it's very, very festive. Do you think it must really help to raise the profile of the product? Do you think that the entertainment factor adds to or detracts from what you're trying to do in terms of sales?
I think wine generally is such a sensory product, you know. So it's something that we drink when we're celebrating with friends. It's something that we share with friends over food. It's something that we're always talking about. And so to be able to show wines in a setting, you know, such as the Oxford Wine Festival, or such a beautiful setting, and with such a great approach to it, actually, it means that there's a great focus to what people have in their glass. It means that it's brilliant to be able to share in that, to be honest, and to be a part of people discovering the wines in such a great setting. So yeah, I think it makes it a huge difference. I think it's great.
And is there anything in particular at the festival that you're looking forward to seeing?
To be honest, I'm looking forward to tasting to tasting some wines that I haven't tasted before. I think that's one of the great things about festivals and wine generally. You know, it never stops. The world never stops moving in terms of wine. There's always either a new vintage or a new producer or a new blend being developed by a producer, for example. You know, there's always something else new and exciting to taste.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Now, before you go, I need to get the benefit of your expertise for our wine-loving listeners. For example, I remember once being told that you should never choose the second cheapest wine on the list at a restaurant, because that's the one with the biggest markup, because it's the one everyone goes for. I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure that old wives' tale is perhaps the right expression. But do you have any wine choosing or wine drinking tips that you can share with us?
Yeah, certainly. I'm not sure that's always true. I don't know. But yes, certainly. I think if you're in a restaurant and the restaurant happens to have a sommelier, and you're looking for something new or different, exciting that you haven't tried before, then certainly enlist the help of that sommelier, and you know, and don't be scared to give them clear guidance as well. So if you have a certain budget, don't be scared to tell them that helps them work within that. And if there's grapes that you hate or grapes that you love, then, you know, discuss that as well. And that helps to sort of guide you towards something which might be similar to a wine that you love, but completely different and very exciting and new at the same time.
It strikes me it would be lovely if ordinary restaurants throughout the country could have guest sommeliers in. Just every now and then to bring a special wine list and introduce them to people.
That would be nice, actually. That's not a bad idea.
Lovely. Okay, so finally then, what's your favourite everyday wine? Well, maybe not every day. And what would be your ultimate once-in-a-lifetime wine?
My favourite everyday wine? I love wines that are fresh and elegant. I tend to often drink Riesling, for example. I love Pinot Noir, Syrah as well from the north of the Rhone Valley, and Chardonnay too. But I suppose it depends on my mood and who I'm with and what I'm eating as well. But that's kind of the style of wine that I go for. And then I've once in a lifetime wine. Gosh, there's too many of those to choose from as well. That's the problem. I think I'm always wowed by wines from, I don't know, Bordeaux in the 80s. And certainly my vintage was one of the classic vintages in the 80s. And I love it when I get the chance, very, very rarely, to taste one of those wines. I think they can be exquisite.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Thanks so much for speaking to us today, Laura.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to coming to the wine festival and to trying some of Gus One's products.
Fab. Looking forward to seeing them.